Here we are at another Feast of Tabernacles. This festival is unique among God's holy days for many reasons, such as living in temporary dwellings, the use of second tithe, meeting together throughout the entire 8 days, and so on. But there's another particular thing that I want to cover today about the manner in which this festival should be observed. I'm thinking of an instruction that could become hard to follow after keeping this feast every single year for 10, 20, or even 50 or more years. The routine of it could have us forgetting about this command. During these 8 days, we are commanded to rejoice. And that's a command. It sounds a little strange to be commanded to rejoice, doesn't it? It's a bit like being ordered to be happy, or else. For my first point, let's look at this command to rejoice. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. 13. You shall celebrate the Feast of Booths 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and your wine vat, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your male and female servants, and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your towns. 7 days you shall celebrate a feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all your work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. So there we are told to rejoice, celebrate, and be joyful. You shall rejoice. That's not just a I hope you'll have a good time, or I'm sure you'll have a great time as long as your tent has a good view and the weather is nice. It's a command that we should rejoice. Notice that back in verse 8 of this chapter, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is called a solemn assembly. There are similar instructions in Leviticus 23, where we are told to rejoice before the Lord 7 days. That's for the Feast of Tabernacles. But we can also see in Leviticus 23 that trumpets is a memorial, a holy convocation. Atonement is a Sabbath of solemn rest. But the Feast of Tabernacles, at the Feast of Tabernacles, we are clearly instructed to make this a joyful event. So what does it mean to rejoice? Let's get a definition. Rejoice means to feel or show great joy or delight. Notice, to show great joy. A definition of joy is a source or cause of great happiness. Something or someone that gives joy to someone. I think the difference between simply being happy and rejoicing is that rejoicing is an outward display of happiness, such that it helps others to celebrate and be joyful as well. For that reason, these 7 days are not a time to go around looking solemn or stony-faced. Passover is a time to be solemn. Atonement is a time of solemn rest. But this feast is not a time to dwell on the troubles of this world or on negativity. It should be a time to make an extra effort to be cheerful and overcome any problems we might have with a happy heart, a skip in our step, and a smile. Because our primary attitude here should be of rejoicing and spreading happiness to one another, and also showing God that we want to be here, obeying his command. It is a time to be positive and forward-looking, focusing on the future ahead in God's plan that these days picture. My second point is that God gives us the means to help us rejoice. God has given us the blessing of second tithe. Second tithe forces us to save during the year so that we can do away with many of the financial struggles that we face the rest of the time. Worries that may impede on making this feast special. It removes some of the things that could get us down and take a few smiles off our faces. Let's remind ourselves of the passage of scripture that tells us what to do with our tithe. We'll find that in Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22. You shall surely tithe all the produce from what you sow, which comes out of the field every year. You shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God, at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock, so that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. If the distance is so great that you are not able to bring the tithe, since the place where the Lord your God chooses to set his name is too far away from you, when the Lord your God blesses you, then you shall exchange it for money, and bind the money in your hand, and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. You may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen, or sheep, or wine, or strong drink, or whatever your heart desires, and there you shall eat in the presence of your Lord, the Lord your God, and rejoice, you and your household. So God gives us this instruction so that we can rejoice. He wants us saving our tenth of everything we earn throughout the year so that we can take the worries of life away and rejoice during this 1 week. That's how special and unique this one festival is in God's calendar. Not only do we have the ability to buy for ourselves whatever our hearts desires, but we also have the blessing of being able to share this pot of savings with others who may not have as much. By taking someone out for a meal, for example, or paying for someone's grocery bill, or giving someone a gift. And let's remember that definition earlier. Rejoicing is to show joy and bring joy to one another. God's command to save a tithe throughout the year has made it very easy for us to rejoice at this feast. My last point, my third and last point, is we have more reason to rejoice about this feast now than at any time ever before. The Jews have been keeping these days for thousands of years without knowing its purpose. The Jews believe this is simply like a harvest festival. A time to be thankful for the year, a time to celebrate, a time to remember how the Israelites were brought out of Egypt. Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong kept this feast for 14 years before knowing the meaning of it. Seven of those were completely alone. Just imagine that, keeping these days holy and trying to follow the command to be rejoiceful, but not understanding why, not having second tithes. Would it be quite so easy to rejoice? We have been given so much in terms of understanding of God's plan. It doesn't matter what situation we are in this feast, we have a lot to rejoice about. But some people are keeping these days entirely alone. Some people are in agony with a health condition. Some are in emotional turmoil with the loss of a loved one. Many members of God's church are living with awful trials that the rest of us cannot completely fully understand. None of these problems can be belittled or underestimated, but no matter what, there is always reason to rejoice at this feast. Rejoicing is a command, but fortunately for us, we don't need to view it as a command, because we know exactly why we should rejoice. There's no need to force ourselves. We know that this feast looks forward to a period when this world begins to turn around to the wonderful ways of God. It's going to be a glorious time when there won't be any health problems, no more death, no more poverty, no more disease, and no more wars. What better reason can there be to rejoice during these 7 days? We also know that we are closer to the end than ever before. We can see the signs in the world around us, the increasing troubles. We can see how fragile this man-made civilization is. It's so plain and easy to see. In conclusion, rejoicing is a choice. It is something we can choose to do, and God wants us to do. We can choose to focus on the problems we face, or we can choose to dwell on, or we can choose to dwell on the certain future ahead of us. God has made it easy for us to rejoice at this feast, and He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to be genuinely happy and to spread that happiness one to another. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 it says, "Rejoice always." And that's not talking in relation to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a way of life, and that's going to be the way of life in the 1,000 years that this feast represents. The feast can serve as a reset for us for the rest of the year. Rejoicing isn't just limited to the Feast of Tabernacles. It should be our way of life, because it's going to be the way of life in the future. Even through trials, we should count it all joy. Imagine how much joy there will be when there are not the kind of trials we have today. I'd like to finish by quoting the last chapter from the book, Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. "Crime, sickness, disease, pain and suffering gone. Poverty, ignorance banished. Smiles on people's faces, faces that radiate. Wild animals tame. Air pollution, water pollution, soil pollution gone. Crystal pure water to drink. Clean, crisp, pure air to breathe. Rich black soil where deserts, mountains and seas formerly were, producing full-flavored foods and fantastic beauty in flowers, shrubs, trees. A world filled with happy radiating humans, guided, helped, protected and ruled by former mortals made immortal. And all the humans realizing that they too may inherit everlasting life in supreme happiness and thrilling joy." What a fabulous picture.